Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोपीनाथ श्याम कुंड राधा कुंड गिरी गोवर्धन की जय। श्री वृंदावन धाम की जय। श्री मथुरा धाम की जय। श्री जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की जय। श्री मायापुर नवद्वीप धाम की जय। गंगा माई की जय। जमुना माई की जय। भक्ति देवी की जय। तुलसी महारानी की जय। हरिनाम संकीर्तन की जय। समवेत भक्त वृंद की जय। गौर वृंदावन की जय। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली ऑफ सेंट्स। ऑल ग्लोरी टू द असेंबली ऑफ सेंट्स। ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरांग। ऑल ग्लोरी टू श्री नमो विष्णु पदाय कृष्ण पृष्ठाय भूतले श्रीमती भक्ति वेदांत स्वामी नाम नमस्ते सरस्वती देवी गौरवाणि प्रचारिणि निर्विशेष शून्यवादि
Let all the troops please come forward as close as possible as the morning wood is coming and that the mothers can see the little morning.
Hare Krishna. Today is the Diwali or Deepavali. Deep means lamp and Vali means multitude. It's a festival of lamp. And as Vishnananda Prabhu mentioned that this festival is to mark the return of Lord Ramchandra to Ayodhya. But this festival, this day, this particular day also has a very special significance to us also, and that is, this is the month of Damodar. Damodar is a name of Krishna which indicates that in one of the pastimes Krishna was bound by a rope by his mother. He was around his belly, his mother tied him up with a rope. And therefore Dham, the word Dham means a rope, and Udar means the belly. The Supreme Personality of Godhead's belly was bound with a rope. And Srila Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, quoting from Vaishnava Doshani, mentioned that pastime actually took place today on this particular day, the new moon day of this month of Kartik. Kartik is a very special month. If you go to Vrindavan, you find that this month is festivity and many people, many pilgrims come to Vrindavan at this time, during this month. And naturally this month is a very, very auspicious month. And Kartik Vrata, we observe in this particular month with an objective, with a desire, with an intention to make spiritual advancement, with an intention to receive Krishna's mercy. During certain period, Krishna becomes very favorably disposed. Krishna actually created those deities. Krishna created those particular times, like Ekadasi. Krishna created that particular day. And why Krishna created that day? Because on that day, if one observes Ekadasi, that means if one observes certain standard of austerity, then he will become free from all sinful reactions and receive Krishna. Bhaktivinoda Thakur sang, Madhava Tithi Bhakti Janati Jatone Palan Kori. Madhava Tithi, these days, like Ekadasi, Janmashtami, Gaur Purnima, these days and this particular month, Kartik, and these are the times where if one jatone palana kori, if one observes these days very carefully, the way Krishna instructed how to observe them,
then one will receive Krishna Prema. Therefore, Bhakti Bhaktivinoda Thakur has described his days as Bhakti Janani, the mother of devotion. You observe his days and devotion is born, will be born in your heart. So that's why devotees take advantage of these particular DTs or periods or times to take advantage of them and make spiritual advancement. Because on these days Krishna is very favorably disposed. Also there are places for that matter. In certain places you observe Krishna Bhakti, you perform devotional service, the result is thousand times, million times more. Like Vrindavan, Mayapur, these are the places. You execute devotional service, the return is thousandfold. So devotees therefore take advantage of these occasions and opportunities. So today is also a very special day, Deepavali. But to us, its speciality is because Krishna was born by a rope on this day. Damodar Leela actually took place on this day. That is our main objective. Actually, Prabhupada Prabhupada even mentioned that we are not really that interested in observing Deepavali. What Prabhupada actually meant is that the way it is observed as a Hindu thing. Right? For us it is mostly Krishna's pastimes, Damodar Leela took place. Another significance of Deepavali also is light, deep, what is the purpose or what is the significance of the lamp? The significance of lamp is that it gives out light. Now what is the ultimate consideration of light? There are two types of light. Material light, that comes from this electric light, electric lamps, or key lamp, or even sun. Ultimate source of light in material nature is actually sun. But that is only a reflection, that is not real light. The real light is Brahma Jyoti. The real light is spiritual knowledge. So we are more concerned about spiritual knowledge, not so much about material light. There may be material light, there is so much light nowadays by electricity and the electrical arrangements. Even the nights are becoming lit up like daytime. I heard in Las Vegas the arrangements are such that one, not outside, but when you go inside those places, casinos, they made arrangements in such a way that you can't make out whether it's day or night. Because what they do is they don't allow the daylight to come in and they light it up by electrical arrangements. So that, all the time it's like same. Like that means all the time it looks like night. Even in the daytime, when you go there, you feel as if it's night. It's quite interesting to note also that in Bhagavatam, there is a description of the lower planetary systems. How these lower planetary systems have been described as subterranean heavenly planets.
Jaya Shri Shri Prabhupada Ki Jaya Shri Shri Radha Damodara Ki Jaya Guru Prabhupada. Subterranean heavenly planet. The Sanskrit word for that actually is Vila Sarva. Vila means actually a hole, underground. So it's underground heavenly planet. Now what is the, it's actually heavenly planet. In some cases, in some way, this subterranean heavenly planets are more opulent than the heavenly planets. And but why it is considered to be lower planetary system or subterranean? Because the difference is that the sunlight doesn't enter there. That's a region below the earth planet, the lower planetary systems, there is no sunlight. The upper seven planetary systems enjoy the rays of the sun, but seven lower planetary systems don't. That means they are in eternal darkness. They are they're always dark. But what lights up those regions? Those regions are actually lit up very, very elaborately and very wonderfully. You know how? By the jewels on the heads of the serpents. And they are lit up. And I mean, to give an example, that it will be like, you know, the lower planetary systems are like when we light up with electric lights. A place lit up, elaborately lit up with electric lights. There are celestial serpents. There are these huge serpents with thousands of hoods and with gems, jewels, giving out incredible amount of light. It is there. It's not some fairy tales, it's real. Now consider, an earth planet is a planet which is in the middle. So earth planet is a region where you get both the presence of both the planetary systems. You get the higher planetary systems also here, and the lower planetary systems also. Now consider, when you go to Las Vegas, what do you actually get to see? You get to see what the subterranean heavenly planets are like. They don't allow sunlight to come in, and they have made arrangements with these electrical arrangements to light up the place as if it's daylight. Now also another interesting thing to note is a serpent, how does a serpent look like? Isn't it like a cable? You got the message. You got the point. And yes, that's the arrangement we have done. Doesn't the light bulb look like a jewel giving out light? And as if on the head of the serpent? And actually, where does the serpent get the energy to light it up? From the poison. And what is poison? Poison is liquid fire. Poison is liquid fire. Right? And what is electricity? It's fire. So in this way we can see that in the earth planet we are like, there are places which is actually the replica of the subterranean quote unquote heavenly planets. And so there are various arrangements that man has made. But this like lighting up. But what difference does it make? This light do we really get any kind of enlightenment when one goes to
not we, when one goes in Nasarindya.
There's plenty of light, but what's the use of that light? That is material light. But when we talk about light, this Deepavali, it is actually spiritual. It is a location when we should light us, enlighten us with Krishna consciousness. We are showing three lamps to Krishna, but what is our prayer? The prayers are there in the Antarashtakam. And just as Tatha Prema Bhakti Shakam Vipajaccha Namok Shikraho Visti Damodare. Kuberatmojo Mutsai Vajatva. The way you have found, the way you have delivered. See, this is Krishna's pastime. He himself got bound, but through that pastime he delivers Nalakubir and Manikri. Nalakubir and Manikri were bound in this material nature due to the curse of Nalakubir. But he delivered them. That's another wonderful significance of this Dhamma. Nalakubra and Manigri were cursed by Narad Muni, then they would take birth as two trees, Arjun trees. And becoming like a tree, can you imagine what a difficult punishment it is? You can't move, you're just stuck there. You know, exposed to sun and wind and rain and storm and thunder. Like there were two demigods, two sons of Kubera. And who is Kubera? Kubera is the treasurer of the heavenly planet. How opulent he must be. And his sons, but they were drunk and started to behave in a shameless way. Naturally, when one is drunk, he doesn't have any, he is not, no more in his right consciousness, right senses. So, they didn't recognize Narad Muni, or they didn't realize the presence of Narad Muni, or they didn't feel ashamed of their condition, that they were naked. And therefore Narad Muni cursed them. Of course, it may sound like a curse, but actually whatever a devotee does is nothing but a blessing. Devotee never curses. Devotee's curse is also a blessing. Because he doesn't do anything whimsical. He does it with proper Krishna consciousness and for others' Krishna consciousness. So Narad Muni considered, look, you are so exalted personalities, you are sons of Kubera, you are situated as in the heavenly planet as demigods, but you have become, you lost your consciousness. So you must be, there must be some treatment for that. You need some medicine. And the treatment was, okay, for some time, just stand there as a tree. And get rid of your hangover. And then, Narad Muni apparently gave them a curse, but what was the ultimate result of that? They got the first, the darshan of Krishna, and not only the darshan of Krishna, Krishna personally came to deliver them. That is how a devotee, even a devotee's curse is a benediction. Because Krishna himself came to deliver them. That is how Krishna reciprocates the activities and on the actions of his devotees.
They were cursed, but they got delivered.
So that particular verse is explaining that Kuberatmojo Mustriva Jagvat Tayamochi Jogu Bhakti Bhajavi Kritavisha. I'm sorry. Kuberatmojo Bhatta Mustriva Jagvat Tayamochi Jogu Bhakti Bhajavi Kritavisha. The way you deliver the sons of Kubera, Atmajo. Atmaja means, see, this is another thing about Sanskrit language, so precise. Like no other language is so precise. Atmaja means son. And Atmajo means two sons. Atmaja, Atmajo, Atmaja. One, two, so Kubera Atmajo, two sons of Kubera, the way you have delivered two sons of Kubera, Nala Kubera and Manigriva, please deliver me also in the same way. And Tatha Prema Bhakti Shakal Vipajacha. Namo Shri Graho Nispi Namo Dare. By delivering, what did you give them? You gave them Prema Bhakti. They were just residents of heaven in hands. But what they got from you is Prema Bhakti. This Prema Bhakti is rare even for Lord Brahma, even for Lord Shiva, even for Lakshmi. Tatha Prema Bhakti Shakama. Namokshi Graha Mesti Damodara. O Damodara, O Krishna, I do not want even liberation. I do not want liberation, I want Prema Bhakti. What does it mean? Liberation is actually the cheap stuff. So I don't want any cheap stuff. I want Prema Bhakti, I want Krishna Prema. Now Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to distribute that Krishna Prema. Namo Mahavaranyaya Krishna Prema. Krishna Prem, that is rare for Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, even Sri Anga Shamsaya. Sri is Lakshmi Devi. Who is Anga Shamsaya? Who is the other half of Krishna? Other half of Narayana. Anga means body and Shamsaya means always in contact with his body. Even she doesn't get this prema. It's not doesn't get, but it's rare for her. So that prema, Krishna prema, is being distributed by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu without any discrimination and reservation and consideration of qualification. Just inundated the whole world with Krishna Prema. Although he came to Gauravish, land of Bengal, Premer Vanna Loya Nikai, Ailo Gauravishi, Dubilo Bhakoto Janu, Dino Nikam Krishna. Nithananda Prabhu came to inundate the land of Bengal. And in that inundation, in that flood, all the devotees got drowned and all the non-devotees got swept away. No one could escape that flood. Now Nithyananda Prabhu brought that flood to the land of Bengal and the land of India. But Srila Prabhupada has brought that flood to inundate the entire world. Srila Prabhupada came with a specific mission to inundate the whole world. The International Society for Krishna Consciousness. What's the purpose? Inundate this whole world. And let the devotees get drowned, and let the non-devotees get swept away. No one can escape this flood. Now this is how the mercy of the Lord is being distributed. Mahaprabhu came to distribute Krishna prema, but the distribution work was achieved by Nityananda. But Nityananda did it only in the land of India. But Prabhupada came and took it out of India to flood the world, fulfilling the prediction of Nityananda. And what is the objective? The objective is to enlighten our hearts with Krishna consciousness. Now how does the heart become enlightened? We have to transplant some sort of a lamp in there? No. The heart becomes enlightened with a very specific type of light. How does the heart become enlightened? The heart becomes enlightened through the removal of darkness. And what is the darkness caused by? This darkness is caused by ignorance. It's the darkness of ignorance. It's not that we have to take the light from outside. The light is already there with the soul. It is all internal. Krishna is there in the heart, along with the living entity. And the living entity is so close to Krishna, and the living entity can very easily establish his loving relationship with Krishna. But he is covered with ignorance. It's because of this covering that he doesn't see Krishna, or he is not aware. So the real Deepavali is to remove the ignorance of darkness, or the darkness of ignorance. That's what we have to do. Now again, how do we remove this kind of, these layers and layers of ignorance? Do we have to use a chisel and hammer? No. That process is also very wonderful. And this is the uniqueness of the spiritual activity, the spiritual principles. It's not like material activity. Like material activity is, you know, if there is some something covering something, what do you do? Scrub it off. Right? But spiritually what do we do? Chetu Darpana Marjana. And how does Chetu Darpana Marjana take place? It's by a simple process of Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So our Deepavali is to become serious about Krishna consciousness. Our purpose of Deepavali, or enlightening ourselves, by removing the darkness of ignorance from our hearts. And the process is pure chanting of the holy name. We chant the holy name purely, or even before, pure chanting. Even when our offenses begin to wear off, then our covering of ignorance also will start to wear off. Offensive chanting will not work. We have to try to chant offenselessly. And this offenseless chanting will remove the ignorance. And then what will happen? When the ignorance is removed, then the heart will become enlightened. When the heart is enlightened, then what we see in the heart? And will you see the auricles and ventricles? In the heart? No. In our heart, we will see Krishna. We will see ourselves as the servants of Krishna. And then what will happen when you see Krishna, about whom we heard so much, we discussed so much, we read so much, when you see him face to face, what will happen? Will be submerged in an ocean of Ananda Amuli Vartanam Pratipadam Purnam Vedashwaranam. So this is how the process works. We recognize, or when the heart becomes enlightened, then we see ourselves, then we see Krishna, then we become, then we develop our relationship with Krishna. And what is the relationship like? And let us consider, what will happen? Let us just try to theoretically consider, what will happen when you see Krishna? What is Krishna's characteristics? He is the most beautiful, isn't it? So when you come across the most beautiful personality, what will happen? You're going to fall in love. Can you help it? Okay, if you are attracted by beauty, but if you are attracted by wealth, there also no escape. Is the most opulent. Okay, you are not attracted by beauty or wealth, but you are attracted by power. There also, he is the most powerful. So no escape. Okay, you are not, you are very renowned. You are not attracted by beauty, you are not attracted by wealth, you are not attracted by power, but you are very attracted to fame. There also no escape. You are bound to fall in love with him. Okay, you are not even attracted by fame. You are very attracted, you are very attached, you are very fond of knowledge, wisdom. So he is the wisest. And you are not attracted by any of these. You are very, very renounced. There also Krishna is. Krishna possesses all renunciation. So exposure, proper exposure to Krishna is going to cause us to fall in love. If we just somehow become exposed to Krishna, there is no way out. One girl came to Vrindavan from some other village. In India, the marriage takes place. And this girl from between boys and girls from different places. So this girl came to Vrindavan. And her in-laws were very concerned that if she sees Krishna, then there will be trouble. The trouble would be, Krishna will steal her heart. Krishna will steal her mind. So they made arrangements that Krishna, this girl won't be able to see Krishna when Krishna goes in the morning to the pasturing ground with the cows, with his friends. So they sealed all the windows, doors completely locked, and
But somehow it so happened that while Krishna was going to the pestering ground, this girl just threw a little hole in the window. She just got to see Krishna, just got a glimpse of Krishna. And the inevitable happened, what everybody was afraid of. That's what happened. Her mind got stolen by Krishna. So she, her mind got stolen, she didn't have a mind. So she became a zombie. So when they opened the door and found her in that condition, they realized that what they feared, that's what actually happened. So they decided that somehow they have to bring her back to, bring her mind back to her. So they decided that she should be engaged in different activities. Then she gets her mind back. So her sister-in-law gave her newborn, just a little baby, to her to carry. And she held the baby in her hand, just like him. And then, but she just kept on standing there. The mother-in-law said, give her that bucket and with the rope and send her to the well to fetch some water. So this is how they are trying to bring her back to her senses, but they are trying to bring her mind back to her. So she went there to the well. But what to do? She lost her mind. So what she did? She tied the baby with a rope and put the baby in the well. Therefore, there is a warning. If you still have material attachments, if you still want to enjoy the material nature, if you still have your attachment to your family and friends, then never ever go to Kishinath, where Shyam Sundar is performing his wonderful pastimes, playing his flute. Never ever go there, because your life will be finished. So be careful before you desire to see Krishna. Maybe all kinds of undesirable things will start happening to you. So this is how wonderful Krishna is, this is how wonderful he attracts us. And we should, all we have to do, by the way, I mean, are you all ready to see Krishna? Do you all want to see Krishna? Or do you want to still get stuck with your family and friends? I don't see the response very... Okay, if you want to develop your relationship with Krishna, then just do that. Remove the darkness of ignorance from your heart by enlightening your heart with Krishna consciousness. When you show the lamp to Radha Damodar, Yashoda Damodar, just don't show the lamp. It's not just a matter of showing the lamp. It's a matter of praying to Krishna, Krishna, enlighten my heart so that I can really see you. Preman Jana Chirita Bhakti. We can't see you with any material light. The way to see you is by developing my love for you, anointing my eyes with the love of devotion for you. So that is the purpose of real devotion for us.
obviously one thing becomes clear here. No firecracker in Deepavali. That's totally unmodified. Will ever firecrackers ever enlighten your heart? These are just some modern concoction. Undesirable modern introduction. Due to the influence of the materialistic world. It's a Deepavali, lamp, festival of lamp. I mean, even if you take it that way, just light lamps. Not rockets and crackers. What do you call it? Sparkles. You feeling discouraged? Okay, if you have already bought it. Then let this be the last time. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna. Does anybody have any questions? Till what time should we go on? Okay. Hare Krishna Maharaj, could you please speak about Mother Yashoda? What other special intimate moments did she share with Krishna? Okay. Naturally, Mother Yashoda's intimate relationship with Krishna is based on parental love or vatsalyas, which took place mainly during Krishna's childhood pastimes. I'll just tell you about one pastime. One day some gopis came and complained to Mother Yashoda that Krishna stole butter from their house. Mother Yashoda couldn't believe that. Because when they say that Krishna went to their house and stole butter, at that time actually Krishna was with Mother Yashoda. So Mother Yashoda couldn't understand. She tried to reason and said that, look, Krishna was actually with me. How can you say that Krishna went and stole butter? And then those ladies said, look, Yashoda, do you think we are lying? Mother Yashoda said, look, I know that you are not lying, but I can't understand how is it possible, because Krishna was with me the whole morning, and he was saying that Krishna went and stole butter. And so Mother Yashoda was seriously confused at how it can be, and then that actually led to a little argument. Then Mother Yashoda told her, why Krishna would go to your place to steal butter? I said, there's many jars of butter in my house. And actually that's what led Mother Yashoda to get a special type of milk by feeding the cows with special type of grass. Special type of cows who give special type of milk. There is one cow that gives milk with a fragrance of lotus flower. There are different cows with different characteristics. And there are grass also that has different characteristics. And So Mother Yashoda gave particular type of grass to the particular type of couple and got the milk to make some very special type of butter for Krishna. And actually at that time she was boiling that butter, boiling that milk when Krishna came and wanted to drink her milk. And then when the milk started to boil over, then Mother Yashoda placed Krishna aside and went to get him the milk. And Krishna got upset. And he broke the whole Damodar Leela, the prelude to the Damodar Leela. Now, this is actually the prelude to the Damodar Leela. So Mother Yashoda, they complained. And so Mother Yashoda thought that maybe my butter is not tasty enough. So she decided to make some, you know, special type of butter with special type of milk from special type of cows by feeding them a special type of grass. And so Mother Yashoda told this lady, and it led to a kind of an argument. Mother Yashoda said, "Is there any dearth of cow butter?" And they said, "Well, whether you have butter at home or not, that's none of our business. My point is, Krishna came to our house and stole butter." And so eventually, Mother Yashoda, they left. And they told Mother Yashoda, "Okay, next time your son comes to our house, we are going to catch him and we'll bring him to you. Then probably you will believe us." Mother Yashoda said, "Yes. You bring him to me and then I'll believe." So this gopi was just waiting. So she, one day, Krishna came to the house. And Krishna stole butter along with his friends. Krishna ate the butter. Then after they ate to their full satisfaction, Krishna called the monkeys and gave them the butter. And when the monkeys also would eat the butter, then Krishna said, "This butter is so bad that even the monkeys come." So then then Krishna pinched the sleeping child of the gopi, pinched him and woke him up. And when the boy started to cry, Krishna just, along with his friends, he just ran, tried to run out of the house. Then the gopi just caught him. He said, "Come, now I'm taking you to your mother." Krishna said, "Please don't take me to my mother." And she said, "No." And Krishna started to plead, "Please don't. My mother will get really upset and she will chastise me." And but this gopi was ruthless. She took Krishna on her back and started to walk towards the house of Mother Yashoda. Krishna was pleading, "Please let me go, please don't take me to my mother," and Krishna was crying. Then finally, when she came to Mother Yashoda, she said, "I told you what kind of naughty son you have and the mischiefs that he made, and I told you that I believe. Do you believe it now?" And Mother Yashoda started to laugh. And she couldn't understand, this gopi couldn't understand why Mother, such a serious matter, and Mother Yashoda is laughing. And then finally Mother Yashoda said, "See, this is what I actually suspected. Your son does all this." "And you put all the blame to my Krishna." And
Then the gopi looked up and saw it's Prasanchi. So, and she was completely bewildered. What happened? She could vividly remember, she caught Krishna, she could even hear Krishna's voice ringing in her ears. Please let me go, please let me go, my mother will be really upset. And now it's her son. So with a heavy heart she was walking back. She was feeling really embarrassed. And then she heard Krishna's laughter. She looked up and she saw that it's Krishna in him. And she started to chastise Krishna. And I caught you and you just made some magical spell and you became my son and look how you embarrassed me. Krishna said, look, I told you not to take me. But your own business. And yes, I am a mental part. So be careful of me before you try to fool around with me. Anyway, this time I became your son. Next time you take me to your mother, I'll become your husband. Dear Maharaj, could you speak a little on the principle of love that binds Krishna to his devotee? Thank you. Yeah. Yeah. So it is not with rope that Krishna was bound. It was by the love that Krishna was bound. And that is the wonderful aspect of this Dhamma. Krishna, who is the giver of liberation, he is bound. Who releases everyone's bondage, who releases everybody, he is bound. Krishna, who is unconquerable, he is conquered. Now what causes this kind of contradictory things to happen in relation to Krishna? It is devotion, it is love. Yes, Krishna is unconquerable. But one thing that Krishna himself becomes conquered by is love. Now, to understand that, as you say, as you ask about the principle, you see, to understand that principle, we have to understand what is love? What is love? Love actually is an energy, is a force. Just as in the material nature there is light, heat, electricity, magnetism, and sound, in spiritual reality or in relation to the spiritual reality and spirit soul, there is another kind of consideration of energy. Like those energies are Sandini, Sandeep, and Latini. Sandini is the existence aspect. Sandeep is the knowledge aspect. And Latini is the
joy has brought. Enjoyment has brought. This energy is the cause, this Ladini energy is the cause of joy. Now, this concept of enjoy or experiencing joy is dependent on reciprocation. Can anybody enjoy by himself? Like when you want to enjoy what you do or what do people do? I know what you do when you want to enjoy. But generally, let's say materially, what people do. Somebody wants to enjoy, today is Friday evening, no, today is Saturday. Let's go to, and today is Diwali. Let's go and meet the family members, other family members, and let's have a party. Isn't that they do in Diwali? Yeah. Or let's go to the disco. So when you want to enjoy, then you want to be with many. Now, to get this many together, in a real sense, to get many spirit souls together, the force that is needed is love. Love is the force that brings us together. Hatred separates us, isn't it? Opposite to love is hatred. What does hatred do? It separates us. So love unites, love brings us close together. And so love is actually an energy. It is a spiritual energy. And it is a completely spiritual fact actually. That's why Prabhupada so emphatically pointed out time and time again that there is no love in the material nature. What does it mean? Love is not a material thing. Love is an exclusively spiritual thing. And love is what brings us together. Now actually we don't need to get together or get close to each other. What we really need to get close to or united to or connected to is Krishna. So in simple words we can say that love is the energy that causes a living entity to become connected to Krishna. Love is the force, or if the concept of a force is not clear, love is a factor that unites a living entity with Krishna. Therefore, love is exclusively meant for Krishna. But when you are forgetful of Krishna, when you are oblivious of Krishna, then what happens? We don't know where to repose this love, where to offer this love. That's why we are trying to, love is there in our hearts, but we are offering it to different other objects. No matter wherever we offer it, do we become satisfied? No. Until and unless we repose our love, we offer our love to Krishna, our heart will not become satisfied. Because that is the only purpose of love. The only purpose of this particular energy that is there inherent with the spirit soul is simply meant for becoming connected to Krishna. And when that happens, then the reciprocation becomes complete. Like, love is reciprocal, right? Like, unless and until the reciprocation is there, if one party loves and the other party doesn't, does the love take place? No. Only when both are in love, then the love becomes successful. Now, it is a matter of our loving relationship with Krishna. Now, Krishna actually loves us. Krishna already loves us. Krishna loves us. If Krishna didn't love us, why would he make all these arrangements for us? If Krishna didn't love us, why would he go with us wherever we went? So Krishna loves us, but we don't love him. And that's why this love is not complete. Now when we love Krishna, we start to love Krishna. Then can you imagine what happens to Krishna? Okay, I'll just give a very, very, well, apparently crude, mundane example. Please don't mind. A boy is in love with a girl, head over heels. But the girl doesn't reciprocate. The girl doesn't love him. What happens to the boy? Can't show anybody that much. He's completely devastated. He's completely heartbroken. He suffers from melancholy. But then one day, he receives a note from the girl. The girl saying, I love you. What happens to the boy? You can at least imagine. So now can you imagine what happens to Krishna when we send a note like that to Krishna? Krishna, I love you. That's how ecstatic Krishna becomes. And that is why Krishna is subservient to love. Although he is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, yet he is subservient to love. Hare Krishna Maharaj, is it correct when preaching to state that being Hare Krishna is a pure way of leading one's life, that is, a person can be Christian, Muslim, Jewish and still be a Hare Krishna, following the few regulative principles and chanting the names of the Lord? Thank you, Maharaj. Yes. Yes. One can be whatever his background may be, yet he can be Krishna. Like, you see, background means our material designation. Even our religious convictions, so-called religious convictions, they are also material. Like someone is born in the family of a Hindu and he thinks he's a Hindu. Someone is born in the family of a Muslim and he thinks he's a Muslim. But actually, these are not the real religion. Or somebody thinks that he is a Brahmana or a Kshatriya. These are all body designations. But Krishna consciousness that is awakened by chanting the Hare Krishna Mahamantra and following the principles and regulations is pertaining to the soul. Therefore it doesn't really matter. Like for example, by coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Charles Garvey became a follower, became a devout follower of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But Charles Garvey didn't have to change his apparently religious, apparently Islam religion. He remained Charles Garvey, he remained a Muslim, but he stopped being a non-vegetarian, and obviously he must have been following other principles also and chanting Hare Krishna. And Chaturvayu's descendants are still there in mind. And they are followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. They are Muslims. But they are following the principles and they are chanting Hare Krishna. So in the ultimate issue, we don't even have to change our apparent religious status. If somebody is a Muslim, he can remain a Muslim. Not that we have to grab everybody by his sick eye, shave him out. No. In India, still there is a village that is called Pathan Vaishnav village. The village where Pathan means the Muslims from Afghanistan. So this group of Muslims, where Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was traveling from Vrindavan to Navadvip, Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri, they, after coming in contact with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the whole village became the followers of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. But still they remained there, remained Muslims. And still now that village is there, the village of the Pathan. Pathan Vaishnav means Afghan Muslim Vaishnavs. Of course, those who are going to become hardcore preacher, committed preacher, living in temples, yes, they will change by taking initiation, shaving off, wearing saffron. But in course of time, probably we'll see that many people, without even changing their religious conviction, will practice Krishna consciousness. Hare Krishna Maharaj, what is the effect of a devotee's blasphemous words and curses to another who is trying to serve him? Okay. You see, sometimes when you are in a close proximity, sometimes there will be some aberration, there will be some conflict. But they are not, they shouldn't be taken seriously. Prabhupada said, in a family, sometimes brothers fight. But after 5 minutes, they become friends. So when they are fighting, they may be using harsh words and even curse each other. But is it serious? No. Similarly, in a devotee community, sometimes there is some. Like, one of my godbrothers once cursed me. At that time, I was just initiated. I was a brahmachari. And he cursed me that, get married. And obviously that curse was not serious. I was actually devastated. I went and told Prabhupada. I was very sure Prabhupada. And so I told that some such and such devotee cursed me. Get married. Prabhupada said, you're already married. And he said, you're married to Krishna. And then after 1 month of that incident, Sri Prabhupada gave me sannyas. Hare Krishna Maharaj, how can you help a devotee who is struggling to chant? By convincing to chant and then. If somebody is struggling to chant, meaning it can be for various reasons. One is, first reason may be you didn't really develop the taste, or is one is not really convinced about the importance of chanting Hare Krishna, that's why he's not chanting. Or maybe he doesn't have enough time to chant. and say that you will be safe, too preoccupied. And so what to do is that we have to help him to get the taste. Like for example, a child, I think it happened to everyone. When you are little, then you don't want to eat. Right? And your mother had to struggle to make you eat. Right? Why did you want to eat? Okay, now let's put it this way. But now does anybody have to struggle to make you eat? Does anybody have to coax you to eat? No. Why? Because you got the taste of food. So the ultimate consideration actually is to get the taste of the food. Once you get the taste, then you won't be able to even stop chanting. Even if we want to stop, our tongue will not stop. That's what happened. That's what Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrated once through a pastime. Mahaprabhu came out of the toilet and he was holding his tongue with his teeth. So everyone asked, what happened? Why are you biting out your teeth? Mahaprabhu said, see, I was in a dirty place and my tongue is still chanting over here. I couldn't stop my tongue from chanting. So yes, that is how that's what will happen at some point. When you get the taste of the holy name, even if you don't want to chant, we won't be able to stop chanting. Our tongue will not stop. We'll keep on vibrating. Since I mentioned that past time, let me just complete it also. Then there was a little boy there. His name was Gopal. He was 5 years old. So he asked Mahaprabhu, well, if the final time comes when one is in a dirty place, that means if one is going to die in a dirty place, will he chant the holy name? Then Mahaprabhu said, today I learned a very important lesson from Gopal. And as a result of that, that boy's name became Gopal Guru. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu accepted him as Guru. Like he learned a lesson from him. So who later on became very famous as Gopal Guru Goswami. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. All glory is to Sri Prabhupada.
Thank you, Maharaj, for a very eloquent lecture on how to enlighten ourselves and also send a letter of my love you to Krishna. And so now we will, in great love, offer candles to Yashoda Tamada. So all the prabhus, we can make a space in front, we can be on that side, and all the Maharajis can come to the side to offer candles. And Maharaj will lead us in the rest of the place. Shishivala Dhamadara ki, Shri Prabhupada 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 ki, Shri Prabhupada